This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right, let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hour three as we roll along this morning. Glad to be with us on Sports Map Radio. We're talking about the five NFL playoff games over the weekend, and there's another one tonight. Tampa Bay hosting Dallas. Bobby Belt's going to join us this hour at 45 past the hour. We'll talk to him about the Cowboys as they go to Tampa to take on Brady and the Bucks. But to the victors go the spoils, but to the losers there comes the what-ifs and also what next. And for the Baltimore Ravens, it is going to be what next when it comes to Lamar Jackson. You know, the Ravens, to me, should have won that football game. And with Lamar Jackson, I think they would have won that football game. But the handling of quarterback and team over the last couple of weeks has been so disconnected that it's now in a lot of speculation as to where exactly is the organization and the quarterback heading. Are we going to see a similar situation in Baltimore like we saw in Green Bay, where you franchise tag and trade a star player? The Ravens can get a lot for Lamar Jackson, a lot. And maybe they want to. But just think how this organization and its player had to deal with the last couple of weeks. So much so, and so much animosity, it just feels like, that Lamar Jackson didn't even be with the team in a playoff game just to be around the team. Lamar Jackson was hurt. He had to go on social media to explain what he was hurt with and how it is progressing, because he didn't trust that his own team and his own team's medical staff, and more importantly, his own head coach, he didn't like the way he was being portrayed by them to the media. John Harbaugh, and we talked about this last week, was very dismissive of any notion about when he would come back and what his status was, brushing it off in an I don't know, go ask him kind of way. That Lamar Jackson had to feel like he took it upon himself to go tell the world what exactly was going on, when a lot of quarterbacks, a lot of players don't have to do that. The team does it for you. But because Lamar Jackson is in an interesting situation, given his contract and lack thereof, that there was a lot of speculation that maybe Lamar Jackson just didn't want to risk it. He didn't want to put it all on the line for the team. Michael Vick, on the one hand, says, just put a brace on it. And Robert Griffin III said, you know what? I actually did that, and now I'm in a broadcast booth. There are two sides to every story, and I'm sure down the road there'll be a lot more digging as to exactly what the Ravens, not only the players, but the coaches feel about Jackson, and there'll be a little bit more digging on exactly how Jackson feels about the team. But in my estimation, I don't think you're going to see Lamar Jackson in a Ravens uniform again. I think they're going to franchise him, and then they're going to trade him, and he's going to be gone to somebody else, and I think that's what he wants, and I think that's what the organization wants. To me, I was blown away he wasn't with the team. Blown away that he didn't want to, he wasn't with the team.
Yeah.
I mean, in a playoff game, you don't want to be on the sidelines?
I didn't get it. I didn't get it either. But I mean, but it was shocking, but not shocking.
No, it wasn't shocking. You're right. It wasn't surprising, right?
As soon as you heard that he wasn't with the team, it was like, well, okay, because, you know, he had to come out and let the world know what's going on with him, because the Ravens organization didn't have a clue.
It's like, hey, I'm blown away. Uncle Joe didn't go to Aunt Sally's birthday party, you know, her 50th
right.
birthday party.
Exactly.
They don't like each other, but I was really surprised that he didn't at least show up.
He didn't make the effort.
Right. He didn't make the effort. But in the end, you go, yeah, but I know why, right? Uncle Joe and Sally haven't gotten along for a while. Like, that's the way
Joe
it was.
Uncle Joe probably wasn't invited.
Right. And maybe the Ravens were like Prince Harry, and he had to find his own transportation to Cincinnati to go catch the game, right?
God, how real is that?
Well, you can't get on the team plane, but the Southwest is offering a discount deal now. Right? And you're like, oh God. Maybe that was the case. Maybe they didn't want him. I don't know. I don't know what went on, but I know he wasn't there. But I'm telling you, this has been so messy and so bad. And when
look, when J.K. Dobbins is saying we would have won with Lamar Jackson, I don't think he's saying anything outrageous. He's saying the truth. But here's the thing. When do you hear that, right, when teams lose with backup quarterbacks? Like, when do you hear that? Never, if everything is good, right? Never. Players don't go down that road. If, you know, did anybody say that about Tua Tagovailoa or Teddy Bridgewater with Skylar Thompson? Was there any Dolphin willing to grab the microphone and go, yeah, those guys would have tried to play. We would have won. J.K. Dobbins wasn't actually saying, yeah, Lamar should have been here. He was just pointing out we would have won with Lamar Jackson. He was mad he didn't get enough carries. He didn't actually come out and make a criticism of Lamar, and he didn't come out and make a criticism of Tyler Huntley. But in the process of speaking for himself, in the process of speaking, why didn't I get the ball more? Why wasn't I giving the ball in certain circumstances? He sort of let it go that the team was better off, would have won with Lamar Jackson. Nobody's disputing that, but there was almost a free way to go about saying that, which would have been absolutely off limits if you controlled your organization and what they say and don't say to the media. Right? Backup quarterbacks go out there. They do the best they can. They're backups for reasons. Sometimes they emerge as stars, but most of them have had chance after chance in the league. They just can't quite be a starter, but they're good enough backups, and you go with the troops that you have, and that's it. But there's almost like a sense of, yeah, we could say this, sure. I mean, after all, the last couple of weeks has been back and forth. And it's got to be frustrating for the Ravens because defensively they played the game that should have won it for them.
Yeah.
They should have.
True, I agree.
Absolutely.
With that.
Defensively, they played the game that should have won it for them, and they didn't. And Huntley should never have extended the ball like that without an absolute clear understanding of where it was.
How many times did you watch that play?
I saw a bunch of the replays.
I know, but
I had to keep.
I mean, I was watching it on my phone. I had to keep looking it over and over again. It's like, okay, how did this really happen?
Well, it's
like he just took the ball away from him and ran.
It's amazing what these defenders are taught when it comes to balls being exposed, right? There was that one play in the Dolphins Bills game, I think, where a completion was made, an almost completion was made, but I think it was the Dolphins Bills game where the defender put his hand right as the ball was in his hands enough to knock it out. So he's going in, the ball is being caught. He's putting his hand through the ball to knock it out. So when the quarterback is extending it, if you know you've got position where I'm here, I know where the line is, and even if the ball crosses the plane, they'll call it a touchdown. But since it's open like that, swat it. He swats it to a waiting defensive end who ran a sub 400 at the combine. So that's pretty fast. Not wide receiver fast, but fast enough to get down the field without really any chase from a team that was going in the opposite direction. And you score a touchdown. It's crazy. And I was glad Chris Collinsworth mentioned this because the last time we saw a play like that in the postseason was Super Bowl 43 when James Harrison intercepted a Kurt Warner pass and ran it 99 yards for a touchdown. I think it was over 100 yards for a touchdown. And it was just before halftime in the Steelers-Cardinals Super Bowl.
And he needed oxygen.
Right, needed oxygen.
But that was, okay, real quick, that was one of the first things I noticed, too. These guys are much more in shape now.
Oh, yeah. You get a guy rumbling 100. Because then again,
I was waiting for him to collapse at the end.
Well, since Next Gen had a chip in the football to determine how close it was to the goal line, they also determined that the ball actually traveled like 123 yards. On, you know, sideways and angles and whatnot. And that's a lot of yardage that he ran. Yeah, on that
especially
play.
For a big man.
For a big man, big defensive end. So, the Ravens, that one stung. You had that game. That was a winnable, very winnable game. The way, even as Tyler Huntley was playing, it was winnable.
All right, I got
and
a
Lamar
question
Jackson
for you.
Would have won it.
Which fan base should feel the worst today?
Who? Chargers?
Out of all the games.
Chargers, yeah.
All right, let's go down.
Baltimore, yeah, you should feel like you should have won that game. But outside of that play, there was still plenty of time to do something and you didn't. Minnesota should be really upset, but if they've been paying attention, it felt like the Giants were a little dangerous.
Not only that, but this was Minnesota all season long.
Right.
This is why I think
close.
You and I had him in our top five once and then quickly dropped him back down. It was like we feel like we should put him in our top five because they're winning all the time, but they don't feel like a top-tier team. And they weren't.
Miami, I think they should be proud of that, the way their team played. That's amazing.
I mean, what an amazing
performance.
They shouldn't feel sad at all.
No.
Except for one bumbling play.
Same thing with Seattle. I think to get a playoff game on the, you know, even if it's on the road, you don't host, it doesn't matter.
Even if you weren't supposed to be there, Seattle.
Yeah.
You did. And, you know, you made us all think for the first half, like, oh, Brock Purdy's train has ended.
Yeah, exactly. But the Chargers, that's...
I agree.
That's just incredible. Just incredible to watch that.
Because, you know what, it was just a slow train wreck. Or a slow car wreck. You're watching this thing. You just can't take your eyes off it. Because, like, 27-0, 27-7, 27-14. And you're just slowly watching it just go down. Like, wait, why is this stopping?
Yeah.
Why? Somebody throw the damn towel. I mean, I don't know.
Oh, speaking of which, I did rewatch Rocky IV over a little bit late last week.
Did you gain a new epiphany about the movie?
Yeah, I did. I'll be honest with you. I did. I hadn't seen it in its entirety in a very long time. Very long time. And it is, it is 80s propaganda all the way. I mean, it is what everything you want to throw in the Cold War, it was Rocky IV.
From the
very
beginning. Because I've rewatched it since we've done our bits on it. And
right.
Even the news program on Apollo Creed's TV.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And the way the announcers call the boxing match is hysterical. He's just chopping them.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Breaking news, C.J. Stroud, Ohio State quarterback, has declared for the NFL draft. I don't think it comes as a big surprise, but yeah, it's news nevertheless.
Well, there was a whole lot of talk this weekend about him, though.
Yeah, there was.
Was it Ohio State was trying to get all the packages to keep him to stay?
Yeah, exactly. That's the way we're working
that
now.
That was a new thing. I was not used to that. Now, maybe we can entice him with more money here.
Yeah, that's going to be an amazing situation
as it gets
better and better. And when NIL becomes more refined, like, and it gets polished up a little bit, then you're really going to have that.
Yeah.
Are we going to tolerate anybody? Okay. I mean this in all sincerity. Sports has progressed, right? But every time sports progresses, there's always an old timer that wishes it was like the old days, right? Where you get like baseball, for example, where you'll get like, hey, right, we're expanding the playoffs. And I remember when you didn't have playoffs. You just won the pennant. I wish it was the old days. And you go, enough. We're not doing that. And we're not listening to that conversation anymore. There's like a percentage of the population that doesn't want these kids to get a nickel. Like, not a nickel. Do you think that we won't be, like, we're done with those people? Like, you are way past the train. The train is way past the station. We're never going to not get rid of this. The Supreme Court said it should have never happened in the first place, that the NCAA limited student athletes from making money on name, image, and likeness. It should have never occurred in the first place, and we're never going back. Because the one thing I've always heard from the college football guy is they go, college football is way better than the NFL. And I was like, how? Well, the kids play with passion, while the others play it for money. Well, that's done. That's over now. Is that all you got? Because I watched 5 NFL playoff games this weekend that were pretty fun to watch, and I've seen plenty of playoff games in college football that were over by the first quarter. I just saw a national championship game that was 65-7. Right? I mean, like, what else do you have in the arsenal? If you don't have student passion and that's all they play for, then what else do you got? Because we're down now to a point where Ohio State can try to come up with money to keep a guy at school. Then rather than him go to the NFL.
Man, God, they were working it.
And they were working it. Because,
I mean,
again,
look at the rookie contracts.
Look at the rookie contracts.
Yeah.
Like, wait a minute. If I can get $2 million, $3 million to play at Ohio State, why would I want to play for a rookie minimum? on a deal. Well, I obviously get the signing bonus and stuff depending on when I'm drafted, but I'll still get that if I play at Ohio State. Like I'm still going to the NFL, barring a catastrophic injury. I might as well play at Ohio State where I'll make more money today than I would. So that's great. You know what the thing is, though? I will tell you, there's going to be athletes who want to stay in college because the college experience is once in a lifetime. That's it, right? You only get a certain amount of time to do it. It's unique. It's a different atmosphere. It's not so much business-like, although it is getting closer and closer to being business-like. But nevertheless, the joys of Saturday in certain parts of the country, you can't beat it. Now you're throwing financial wind at them. Now you're throwing financial angles to it. It really is going to be a decision. And while the starting quarterback can still get a nice bonus and all that other stuff, depending on when he signs, where you're going to see a lot of guys is the iffy ones that are like, could go first round, could go second round, them staying at schools because the NIL deal might be more lucrative for them. It's really going to be, I'm really curious to where this is going 4 or 5, 6 years from now when it's polished up. I still worry about breach of contract for some students. Somebody's going to sue some kid somewhere for a breach of contract. I don't know who, but somewhere there's going to be somebody going, that's it. I paid this kid a ton of money. He hasn't done anything for me. I'm taking him to court. Then we'll see how we react to that. But that's anyway, that is the big breaking news. We are going to talk to Bobby Belt. We'll get to him on the angle for the Cowboys tonight. That is coming up in 25 minutes. Bobby Belt, because of their new time slot, if you haven't heard this show before, Bobby Belt is, I've said, I've never talked to anybody who knows more about their team than Bobby Belt knows about the Cowboys. Right. Yeah. He's on par with anybody we've ever talked to about knowledge of their team.
Are Cowboy fans nervous right now?
I would be petrified. My brother's a Cowboy fan. I talked to him yesterday. He honestly thinks they're going to lose. He said flat out they're going to lose. And I said, are you just saying that just to say it? He goes, no, I just don't like the way they're playing.
It's so surreal. And I know somebody pointed out that, you know, the Cowboys thing this year is win 4, lose 2, win 4, lose 2. And if that situation happens, they win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't. And you know what? I mean, if they can get by the Buccaneers, I don't see a reason why they can't win the Super Bowl.
This is the thing. That's a great question. And I might try to find a way to pose it to Bobby Belt. But I don't want to put the cart way before the horse here. But let's just go back to what you just said. Let's say the Cowboys have a convincing win tonight. It doesn't have to be 35-3. It can be like 35-14 or
kind
something.
Kind of what the Niners did to the Seahawks.
They take care of business. They take advantage of things the Buccaneers aren't particularly good at. Micah Parsons has a big day. They limit Brady in the offense. Dak throws 3 touchdowns. They have one of those games where from start to finish, they were on point. They were on point. Will we then rip them, take that off of the doubter shroud off the team and go, okay, now when we're discussing playoff teams that can go to the Super Bowl, this is one of the teams now we have to talk about. They're in the Final Four of their conference. They had one of the better records in the conference. They've got very talented players on it. Let's not dismiss the Cowboys. Does this game do that? Does this game tonight do that? Everything that people are doubting about the Cowboys has a lot to do with the way they played their final game of the season, this team's history in the playoffs, this team's history with Dak Prescott in the playoffs. But let's say all of that is shred tonight, right? It's done. It's out. They win a road game. They win this playoff game. Dak Prescott has a playoff win. It's convincing. Don't we go into the divisional weekend saying, okay, you know what? They're as legit to make the Super Bowl as anybody from the NFC.
Why can't we assume the Cowboys can take care of a Mr. Irrelevant quarterback?
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, it's kind of laid out for them. And then you're going to play against a division rival.
Sure. That's right. Either one. Exactly.
And you're either at Philadelphia or you're at home.
I think it's a very good question to ask.
I mean, it kind of sets up. But the thing is, the first thing you got to do is – You're playing against a team that you should wipe the floor with, an 8-9 team that, you know, barely won its division in a terrible division. That's the team that the Cowboys lose to.
Right.
And it's Brady, and Brady's undefeated.
Brady is 7-0 against Dallas. Let's look at the different angles to this thing. Brady is 7-0 against a Cowboys team that hasn't won on the road in the playoffs since 1992. 0-8. There's like, Prescott hasn't won a playoff game. It's like there's 100 things about this that are really crazy.
Was there ever a no-brainer? Once the NFL got the playoff schedule, do you think the first spot they filled was like, Cowboys-Buccaneers Monday night?
That's Monday night, yeah. There's already whining about, like, well, whoever wins this game has to go to San Francisco, and that's a 2+ day rest that the Niners have. All right. Well, that's the price you pay for getting 3 games on the weekend.
Right.
Yeah, we could have moved it to Sunday, sure. Moved the Giants and Eagles to
Saturday. But again,
Cowboys
storyline is great, but I love Brady playing in San Francisco. Could be his final game playing in his hometown, basically, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and Brady going up against Mr. Irrelevant. You know, two guys who, I mean, if you read Twitter at all late Saturday afternoon, you know, around 2:30, 3 o'clock, you would have believed that you were watching Tom Brady 2.0.
Right, without question. Yeah, without question.
Is it a passing of the torch?
Nobody knew who he was, yeah. So the winner of this game gets the Sunday late game on Fox. And that means 49ers got the early game out of the gate and will play the last game on playoff divisional weekend.
That's fantastic.
Tonight and they get to play the late game on Sunday. Well, you can't have everything, right?
Right.
You can't have everything. So what would have been more fair, right? What would have been more fair? Sticking the Buccaneers and the Cowboys playing on Saturday?
Not having a Monday nighter. Three games Saturday, three games Sunday.
So you want a playoff team to play Monday night and then prepare for a game on Saturday. That's fair? Like, there's a Monday night game. I'm sorry. And I'm sorry that the path has them playing the team that played on Saturday. What do you want? We're not moving it to Saturday. You're giving them the late game on Sunday. It's the fairest it's going to be. Stop whining, people. Look. I'm not a huge fan.
I'd like to have Chargers Jaguars part two again tonight.
Yeah, why not? Have Chargers. Yeah,
maybe
exactly.
A different
Let's play
outcome
that one
this
again.
Time, please.
Look, I don't know if I like a playoff game on Monday. I've never done it before. Let's try it. Let's see how it goes. Let's see how fun it is. Might be fun. Who knows? All right. Bobby Belt, 45 past the hour. We'll talk Cowboys in the learn. Ryan Jensen has been activated off the IR for the Buccaneers tonight on that offensive line. That could be a big deal. We'll talk more about the playoffs. We continue with Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right. Bobby Belt set to join us in 15 minutes. Covers the Cowboys. We will have him on to talk Cowboys and Buccaneers. As I mentioned just before we went to break, Ryan Jensen has been activated off of the IR for the Buccaneers for that offensive line that could use some help. Buccaneers, there's a lot of things wrong with the Bucs, but the one thing that is right is Tom Brady, especially at this time. I think it has lent people to sort of doubt Dallas and more be on Tom Brady, sort of the yeah, but Brady factor that's going to be kicking in even at 45 years old. So we'll get Bobby Belt's analysis on what the Cowboys are bringing to tonight and how much did that game in Week 18 against Washington really cloud the way people are doing that. So we will talk to him coming up. Did you know that Magnum P.I. is coming back? I didn't know that. I saw the previews for that coming up this weekend. Magnum P.I. is coming back. Now I see Night Court's coming back, Magnum P.I., what other show is coming? Quantum Leap. It's on the one hand, nostalgia sells. We sort of get it. But on the other hand, it's like, does anybody want to create anything new on television? Or is that too much of a gamble now with cable? But all these other different channels and streaming services coming up with some good shows and whatnot. But if I saw once, I saw it a million times last night on that Magnum PI episode. So, again, working on Bobby Belt, again, covers the Cowboys here on Sports Map Radio on our progressive guest line. Again, as the Cowboys get ready for Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, they come in at 12-5. But there's a lot of questions, of course, when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys and the postseason. Again, our guest line brought to you by Progressive. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $700 on average. How are you, Bobby?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. All right. I want to get to Week 18. There was a lot. The way the Dallas Cowboys played in that has sort of lent a lot of people to go, well, now I don't really know about the postseason. Is there an accurate connection between the two, or are we just nervous about Dallas in the postseason because that's what we always do with Dallas in the postseason?
I mean, I don't think you ever want to back into the postseason the way they did. And, you know, you lost against the skeleton crew in Washington while there was potentially something on the line. Now, Philadelphia ended up winning. San Francisco won, so it didn't matter in the end. But the Cowboys didn't know that going into that game. So they had something in theory to play for, and they struggled a great deal. So, I mean, it's definitely a concerning marker, I think. But I don't think it's a completely damning mark on their resume. I think that they still are a team that is one of the better ones in the NFC, and I think they're better than the team they're playing tonight. Are they up to San Francisco's level right now? Probably not. But at the very least, I think that there's maybe a little overreaction to what happened against Washington, but it's certainly something notable.
What is the thing, though, that is sticking out about the way they're playing, regardless of whether it's 17, 16, 15, going into this game? Is there anything that is standing out that could be a concern tonight?
Yeah, they're giving up a lot of big passing plays. Over the final 5 weeks of the NFL season, they gave up more 20-yard pass plays than anybody in the NFL. And that was from a pass defense that had been really, really good in the first part of the season. They've had trouble, you know, getting the same sort of pressure they were getting earlier in the year. The corner spot has been worked through with injuries and struggles, so much so that they, you know, picked up Xavier Rhodes after getting released from Buffalo, and he's probably going to play a lot of snaps tonight. So that corner spot, obviously Dak's turnovers have been a major issue, a major talking point. But yeah, those are all sort of the things that I think if they were to lose this game Tuesday morning, we're probably talking about those sorts of things. We're talking about, man, they gave up chunk plays in the secondary. Dak was turning the ball over. Those are the sorts of things that I imagine would cripple them in this game.
In the past with this, with the Cowboys and mostly on Dak Prescott, yeah, they haven't won a playoff game, but how does he handle pressure? Because there is that extra pressure that comes with being a quarterback of this team that a lot of teams don't have with its quarterback. And yet here we are again, another yeah, but situation when it comes to the quarterback of the Cowboys in the postseason.
Yeah, I think he's one of the things the Cowboys have always loved about him is his resolve, his ability to, you know, block out noise, or not even block out noise. It's impossible to block out noise here in Dallas. But instead be able to deal with it and put the proper context around it. And so, yeah, I think that he's somebody that they believe can, you know, when he makes mistakes, can put them behind him, can move on to the next play, doesn't let it linger. He's very mentally tough. And so I think those are all aspects that you absolutely need as quarterback of the Cowboys, because there is always that heightened level of criticism. And he has plenty of that.
Ryan Jensen of the Buccaneers is coming back from the IR. That helps them as they get a little bit better in terms of health. How are the Cowboys' health going into this game?
I mean, outside of, you know, some of their season-ending injuries they've sustained, you know, like at cornerback and, you know, at right tackle with Terrence Steele, they're pretty healthy in this one. They're getting Jonathan Hankins back at nose tackle. He was really helping their run defense after they traded for him from the Raiders. So it'll be good they're getting him back. Leighton Vander Esch is playing for the first time since the opening series against Jacksonville. They really missed him. He plays with really good eye discipline. He doesn't get fooled by all the eye candy the teams try to throw out there. So they're going to get more disciplined at linebacker there. And Tyler Biadasz, who rolled his ankle, and I think the initial concern was pretty strong when he rolled his ankle in week 17 against Tennessee, he is fully rehabbed and he should be back today. So they're actually pretty healthy at this point, save for some of the season-ending injuries.
When you get a backfield that has two guys in like Tony Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott, how is it best used? Who is the primary guy? Who's the better guy in certain situations? Break down a little bit of that dynamic that happens with those two are in the backfield.
See, I think it's interesting. Ezekiel Elliott is their lead back, but I don't know that there's really any scenarios anymore where he's the better player.
Yeah.
You know, Tony Pollard is not some huge liability in pass protection like he once was. Zeke is not the same, you know, really top-tier pass protection back that he once was. Pollard obviously has better speed. I think his vision's better. He's a slippery, you know, type of runner. That's not really Zeke's game anymore. Zeke's real big benefit, I guess, is just the physicality that he plays with, the way that he can wear down defenses, the tone that he sets and things like those. It's sort of these immeasurable intangibles that he has. Because, I mean, I think when you just take a look at the box score, you take a look at their statistics, you take a look at just the eye test, how they look on the football field, there's really not much that lends itself to Zeke being a better player than Pollard at this point. They don't play a ton of them together on the field at the same time. When they do, it's actually been surprisingly inefficient. They actually play better when they just pick with one of them. They're more effective when it's just Zeke, just Pollard, and less so when they're both on the field. And so, it's an interesting time for their running back position, because Zeke's obviously due a lot of money. If he wants to be back next year, I think he's probably going to have to rework his deal. And Tony Pollard is entering free agency, and there's no telling what his market may look like and if the Cowboys want to play in those waters. So, I mean, there's at least a possibility that neither one of these guys are back next year.
Micah Parsons on defense. Who are some other guys to watch out for tonight as you try to game plan, as the Cowboys try to game plan to go up against Brady?
Yeah, I think that a name that people should really familiarize themselves with is Daron Bland. He was a fifth-round pick for them out of Sacramento State. Fresno State. He initially played at Sacramento State before transferring, but he's been really, really good for them. If Daron Bland, you can make a case that Daron Bland has been up there with second half, team MVP candidates, because if he wasn't there, they would be a complete mess at corner after losing Jordan Lewis and Anthony Brown. He's come in. He's played really stable. He's been probably their most consistent corner in the second half of the season. He's got, five interceptions this year. So he's been a really productive player for them, a really steady, stable player, somebody that they've trusted to play inside at the slot. In base package, he'll play outside. And then when they go to three corners, he'll bump inside the nickel and take on whoever's in the slot. And so they put a lot of trust in him for a rookie, and he's been really, really good for them. They really like their safeties. Their safeties set a big tone for them. So Malik Hooker, Jayron Kearse, Donovan Wilson, they play frequently with three of them. Cause Kearse plays a lot of up in the box, almost a pseudo linebacker spot. So I think those three safeties are important to watch. Bland is important to watch. And then if you're looking for, a dark horse X factor, the way they feel like they got to get to Brady is up the A-gap. They're going to have to attack between guard and center, get him up the middle. And so that's going to be a lot of focus on Oso Digizua, their second year defensive tackle, who has played really well in stretches and then played well to close the season. And so I think if you're looking for a dark horse candidate, somebody that, hey, keep an eye on that guy, it would be number 97.
I know the players wouldn't care about this, but I'm just looking at it from a national perception. The Dallas Cowboys are a good football team, really good football team, and yet they are the popular pick to lose tonight because Brady and all of that. But if they were to win, Ron and I were discussing this earlier, this is a good enough football team that if they can just take away that part of the doubt, they become part of the conversation of a team that could go to the Super Bowl. Do you think that people will start to recognize that, you got four teams left in the NFC, why not Dallas? Or are we always plagued on, well, they haven't won a playoff game in a long time, and they don't win on the road in a long time?
Yeah, I think that they're obviously a little bit of, victims to narratives of the past.
Right.
That really have nothing to do with who they are today. But, I think a lot of the criticisms about them are fair. They can be, sort of Jekyll and Hyde at times. They're the team that every year could lose to any team in the playoffs, and they could also beat any team in the playoffs. It just depends on who shows up.
Go ahead. Bobby, great stuff. Appreciate it, man. Thank you so much. Always good talking to you. Bobby Belt covers the Cowboys tonight as we continue his Wake Up Call on SportsMap Radio.
To Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue. It's Wake Up Call on SportsMap Radio. So Ron was telling me Magnum PI is not a new show. It's a new show.
It's been around.
I thought it was coming back. And you're saying it's already been on?
It's been on. Okay. Yeah, I'm looking it up. How many seasons are already in the can?
Night Court, though, is...
Night Court is brand
spanking
new.
That's brand new. Okay. All right. So I John Larroquette is probably excited for work in network television, but do you think he's like, you know, I kind of did this 33 years ago. Am I doing this again?
Yeah, or did he sit there and go, well, I'm not doing anything else.
Might as well. I mean, listen, get on network TV as much as you can. That's the way it is.
Just real quick, not to bum you out or anything. I mean, Magnum PI started in 2018.
Oh, man, it's been all – I'm not paying attention to network TV. So, why? That was a heavy promotion last night.
This next episode coming up is the start of season 6.
Okay, so last night and Saturday was a very, very heavy promotion for that show. That's why I thought it was new.
This next episode is season 6, but
it feels
like, I don't know, they're starting, hold on, I gotta look it up, starting season 5.
Okay. I have not seen or heard of this. Why do I live in a cave? I mean,
I watch TV.
But I
think there's a lot of heavy promotion because they haven't really filmed it in a long time. Like the last new episode was back in May of 2022.
They are really pitching this. I mean, they were pitching it hard. This show. I thought
They didn't run it during the fall, so it's one of those situations like, oh, did we lose people?
Right, because we didn't
run a show during the season.
Maybe we're reminding you that the show is on.
Yeah.
Please watch
But Night Court, that's a brand new one.
Quantum Leap is new, but it's
Quantum
this
Leap
season.
Is, yeah.
Yeah. They're just bringing back all these old shows. I put on Twitter, like, what's next? But, Wings? Are we going to do Wings again?
I would love that.
Somebody pointed out to me that Frasier is coming back.
Is it real? No,
like
that
somebody
one,
said. Somebody put something in Variety that Frasier is coming back. I was like,
see, with Wings, this is the God's honest truth. When I was younger and I watched that, I thought that would be the most ideal job in the world.
Yeah, right.
It was like almost like a childhood dream. Like it'd be great. All you do is fly planes from Nantucket to Boston back and forth.
That's
all
you're doing. Yeah,
that's all you do.
That's it.
What a great life.
What a great little job. Yeah, what fun show. Wings was a fun show. But it's like, why not stop there?
Well, see, okay, I'm going to turn you on to a show, right? I want you to start watching this one. It's called Ghosts.
Oh, I've seen a few of these episodes. I like them, and I forget that they're on.
Yeah. It is literally, like, my wife and I were watching it last night, and it's a sitcom. It's the only network sitcom that we watch. And we just, it's been, like, I think for me, the appeal of it is that it's been a long time since we've had an ensemble cast like this.
Yeah, it's pretty good. That's pretty good. Yeah. I should probably watch that.
I've seen it. I've liked it. I mean, there was an episode yesterday and the old, like she was like the owner of the house, the last owner of the house. Right. And she was doing something where she got somebody yelling at somebody else. She's like, oh, that was better than cocaine. And it's just the way she said it was like, yeah, you didn't know it was bad, did you?
Man, let me tell you, there was a time where I could name the lineup on every network without blinking an eye. And now I don't even know what shows are on anymore.
Well, back in the day, it was like Monday nights. If you weren't watching football, so it was springtime. That was owned by CBS.
Yeah.
CBS had all the good comedies. Thursday was, forget about it.
NBC.
NBC all day
long.
When
I was a kid, Tuesdays had... ABC had Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley, Three's Company, and Too Close for Comfort.
Okay.
Those were the four shows on Tuesday nights on ABC in the early-ish 80s. I was like, I just would know. And now it's cool to have these shows kind of come back, but it does make me wonder, is it too risky
now? Are we out of
ideas? Is network, so you're a network, right? You're a network guy, and you've got sports, and that's selling. But you're losing to... streaming shows like Yellowstone, Tulsa King is apparently popular. Like when back in the day when it was Walking Dead and Mad Men and Breaking Bad and all these shows.
No, and honestly,
you're trying to create something.
And I will tell you this. What shocks me is when I see a TV show like Abbott Elementary winning.
Yeah, right.
Because that's a network show. And I'm like, why are they winning? What's wrong with you?
So what's the gamble? Like, if you're a network, you go, all right, I've seen the pilot of what you're pitching. These production companies do these shows, and then they pitch them to the network. So you're a network watching the show going, you know what? I really like this. I think we'll buy it. But do you go, but you know what? I think we can take an old thing and turn it into a modern thing and get people nostalgic, and that'll sell too. We'll take a gamble on this, this, and this, but we're also going to make sure there's some things on the network that people go, hey, I remember that show back with the guy in the mustache. That was a good show. Let's watch it now, 30 years later. That's where I think the networks are going. Because it just feels like, yeah, did you like this? Here it is again, but it's got a new cast, but it's the same old shenanigans.
Or it almost feels like they say, you know, this is now that we have newer technology, this is what we wish we could have done.
We wish we could have done it with this show. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean,
it's very much
you bring it up. I'm waiting for the new A-Team.
Sure, that's right, A-Team.
I mean,
why not?
I know they went movie with it, but why not a streaming TV
okay,
show?
Okay, could you get A-Team to work if you used modern face recognition software and GPS tracking?
Yeah, I guess they all sit back and go, what about you? Yeah. I'm sure it's at the table because that would be a big hit.
The government couldn't find the black van with the red stripe and a guy with chains and a mohawk. They could not find that group their life.
Seriously, Tony, that could be anybody.
Yeah, it could be anybody.
I mean, you know, any black van with a red stripe probably is going to be driven by a black man with 80 pounds of gold chains?
Yeah, if Maria and her husband are having trouble from the local gang to save their restaurant, they can find the A-Team, but the government could never find them. The government was like, I don't know where they are. Meanwhile, if you have a problem that no one else can solve and you can find them, which didn't seem to be all that difficult,
you can hire
the A-Team.
What makes me curious, too, is because there were sometimes, because a lot of times it was word of mouth.
Right.
Oh, I know a guy.
I know a group that you want to.
But then there were some other times where this person's having trouble and there was just like a card in their windshield.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Call us. 555.
We'll take care of you. Yeah. They tried to bring back Knight Rider a couple of years ago. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
They had he was the young kid related somehow to Michael Knight. He got that didn't work. So
They brought back MacGyver for a little bit.
MacGyver for a little bit came back. Yeah,
I don't think that one. I don't think that one's on anymore.
Nostalgia sells. There's a thing about nostalgia that sells.
When Hawaii Five-0 came out, it was they had like a 10-11 year run.
They did. That was a great show. It was really like name only, to be honest with you. It really wasn't the kind of the same thing. They used the terminology, but it was
that's why, like, you know,
let's
Magnum
get you
PI.
Hooked in, and then you'll be attracted to the product that we have. And it's the same one.
Yeah, Magnum PI starting their fifth season.
Nostalgia sells, but new technology is great. Like the chip in the football that we found out today is existing in NFL footballs that nobody knew about.
And okay, now that we know.
Yeah.
Now I think that's the next question for us, right?
Let me be honest with you. I will buy a drink, virtual drink. I don't know how I would buy it. I will buy a virtual drink to whatever reporter asks Roger Goodell at the Super Bowl about the chip in the football.
Like, what else can we do with it? That's what I want to know now.
Hi, Commissioner. I was just wondering, we all seem to find out that there's a chip in the football. Can we do something else with that now? That you know for sure where the ball should be placed?
How fantastic would it be if Roger Goodell goes out, chip in the football? We've had that for like 5 years.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, we've been doing that forever. Yeah,
what?
Sorry. Exactly. The amount of surprise that drew last night was great. I felt like I was in a club. I was like, oh, thank you.
Was funny was at first you felt like you were Tom Hanks in Castaway.
Yeah.
Like looking around going, I'm by myself? Am I the last to know?
Am I the only one that didn't know there was a chip in the football to determine advanced metrics?
Slowly people started coming like around this palm tree out of this cave like, no. Tony, you're not alone.
We're all on this island together.
We all thought
it was all just seeing it with the naked eye in real time. Oh, no, it isn't. We can actually determine if the ball crosses. Yes, we can.
And listen,
we actually know.
Bring it back to TV. Like, you know, when you see these comedy or these crime dramas.
Yeah.
And they all have like the little earpiece in, you know, like the little tiny thing that just sits in the ear.
Yeah.
Why can't we get that to referees?
I don't know. I don't know why we don't have eye in the sky.
These things.
Like, it's crazy.
Obviously, these earpieces are real. I think the government uses them all the time. You know, it just make more sense. Like, you know, really quick, a guy from New York can go, use the chip.
Yep, that's right.
Here's the chip technology. Come on.
Well, never forget that Tom Brady is playing tonight. Tom Brady is in the postseason again. The first time Tom Brady won a Super Bowl. The game was called by Pat Summerall and John Madden. If that doesn't bring back nostalgia, I don't know what is. That's how long he's been doing this, and he's doing it again. And you know what's so great? 45 years old, nobody doubts that he can win this game tonight. Everyone's like, no, he could probably, he'll likely win this game tonight. Fantastic.
Almost
enjoy
expect
it.
Him to.
That's right. The Lombardi line's coming up next. We'll be back tomorrow to wrap up this game and then look ahead to the four other playoff games that'll be coming up this weekend. Tony D, Ron Culver, it's Wake Up Call.